Welcome to the deep dive. So today we're plunging into, a really unexpected corner of the whole climate conversation. I think you'll find it pretty provocative.
Definitely. We've got some fascinating material here, and maybe slightly bizarre at times.
Huh, yeah, that's one way to put it. It basically asks this question: who are the real, maybe the unsung heroes in the fight against climate change?
Right. And it's a question that, challenges a lot of our usual thinking. We hear about corporations, governments, tech.
Our own recycling bins?
Exactly. But
Yeah.
these sources we've looked at, they point somewhere else entirely.
Totally. Because it boils down to emissions, right? Carbon emissions. And carbon credits are supposed to be this way for big emitters to offset their impact.
By funding green projects, yeah. Tree planting, renewables, that kind of thing.
But these documents we have, ranging from like expert-sounding quotes to some pretty sharp satirical headlines, even a formal policy proposal.
They all kind of circle around this, let's say, wild idea.
Yeah, what if the people with the absolute rock bottom lowest carbon footprints, what if they're actually sitting on this huge untapped potential in the carbon market?
And specifically, the sources focus on individuals experiencing homelessness.
Which, I mean, sounds almost absurd at first, doesn't it?
It really does. You picture carbon markets, you think big money, big projects, not individuals with the fewest resources.
But when you start digging into the arguments they lay out, there's this surprising logic that starts to peek through.
Okay, so let's unpack it. There's this document, secready.pdf.pdf.
Right?
It puts the core argument quite bluntly. It says something like the average unhoused person emits less carbon in a year than the average corporate boardroom does in an afternoon.
Wow. Okay. And it makes sense, right? No
Yeah.
car, minimal or zero electricity.
Often using discarded resources, things others have thrown away.
Yeah, the source even says if sustainability had a face, it would be unshaven and holding a cardboard sign, which is stark.
It's a powerful image. The lack of contention is the point. And in another document, this extended research piece.
Carbon Credit Podcast Research Extended.pdf.
That's the one. There's a quote from a Dr. Lily Bitz. She says, "People like Carl are a climate asset. He hasn't emitted a single kilowatt hour since 2006."
Carl being sort of a hypothetical example here.
Presumably, yes. But the point is clear. This drastically reduced consumption equals drastically reduced emissions. It's inherent.
Right. And then building on this, both that pre-credit document and another one called policyproposals.pdf, they introduced this thing called the Urban Offset Initiative, UOI.
And this is where it gets really, really interesting.
Because it's framed as a serious proposition to actually recognize and maybe even, monetize this extreme low carbon footprint.
Yeah, it's about flipping the script. Instead of
Oh,
just
yeah.
focusing on planting trees or building solar
The
farms,
important things, obviously.
of course. But this suggests acknowledging the inherent low emissions of this specific group. The objectives are pretty clear. Recognize it, let corporations buy these lifestyle offsets,
Lifestyle offsets.
and push for more equity in the climate economy, like channeling some of that, quote, climate guilt money to the people least responsible.
So who qualifies? They get specific there.
Very specific, less than 1 kilowatt hour of electricity a month.
1 kilowatt hour.
No vehicle ownership or fuel use in the past year, and a verified carbon footprint that's 90% below the national average.
90%. That really paints a picture of the minimal consumption involved.
Absolutely. And the verification process they propose is, well, it's something.
How does that work?
They mention third-party auditors, and then in parentheses it says, possibly wearing Patagonia.
Okay, sensing a little irony there.
Just a bit, maybe. And these auditors would issue carbon poverty certificates, CPCs.
Carbon poverty certificates, that's a loaded term.
It is. It directly links that economic hardship with the low emissions, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then how do people actually like sell these?
Get this. They propose a blockchain app called Offset Me Bro.
Offset me, bro. Seriously.
Seriously. And there's this quote in the research doc from a satirical French fintech founder, Snickers Duchette,
Snickers Duchette.
who says, "Offset Me Bro is revolutionizing the carbon market. Now anyone can buy virtue in blockchain form."
Buying virtue as an NFT, basically, a token representing someone's low footprint.
That seems to be the idea. Tapping into that whole crypto NFT trend, financializing this carbon virtue.
Which adds, I mean, another layer of strangeness, absurdity.
Complexity,
So that was
perhaps. And it raises questions, about who really benefits accessibility.
for sure. And just to hammer home how unconventional this is, there's another quote. Walter P. Effingo.
Ah, yes, the motivational speaker and carbon offset strategist.
Right, he asks, why plant a tree when you can sponsor a man who hasn't taken a hot shower in a decade?
Oof, yeah, that's designed to be jarring.
Totally. To make you really think about how we value carbon reduction. Is it just trees and tech or something else?
It forces you to confront these unseen realities of low carbon living, even if it's involuntary.
And the satirical headlines they included really drive this home. They imagine the public reaction.
Oh, those are great. Like, homeless man outsells Tesla in carbon credit market.
Right. Or federal government announces tax credit for couch surfing.
And my favorite, hobo coin surges after Elon Musk tweets, virtue is scalable.
Hobo coin. Yeah, it perfectly captures the potential media circus, the mix of fascination and maybe ridicule.
And how quickly things can get financialized and maybe trivialized, that whole crypto angle, the performative aspect of some environmentalism.
Exactly. It taps right into that.
Yeah.
But, okay, despite the satire, the sources do outline an expected impact for this UOI thing.
Right. They're not just poking fun. They suggest it could diversify the carbon market, maybe bring in more players.
And shift the climate narrative a bit, bring in more social justice thinking.
And raise awareness that, you know, sometimes doing less, consuming less actually is more, environmentally speaking.
Mm-hmm. Which connects to the bigger picture, right? Like the social side of climate change. Who's actually bearing the brunt?
And who's getting recognized for contributions, even if those contributions are basically forced by circumstance?
Yeah, which leads perfectly into that headline from the fictional Woke Weekly magazine they mentioned.
Oh, yeah. What was that again?
Are you living sustainably or just housed?
That cuts right to it, doesn't it?
It really does. It challenges our standard definitions. Is sustainability only something you choose if you have resources?
Or does extreme minimalism, even if it's involuntary, count? Should it count in our carbon accounting?
It forces you to think about whether our idea of sustainable living is maybe tied up with a certain level of privilege.
And these sources are basically suggesting, hey, look over here. This massive reduction is happening, and we're totally ignoring it in the formal systems.
Now, it's probably good to reiterate here, we're just exploring the ideas in these specific documents.
Absolutely. We're not endorsing this or getting into all the massive ethical and practical hurdles. We're just relaying what the sources propose.
Like a thought experiment laid out for us.
Exactly. A provocative one. Whether the UOI is feasible or even desirable, that's a whole other can of worms. But the core idea that these ultra-low footprints exist and maybe have value in this climate fight, that's the interesting part.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. The key takeaway from all this material today, it's this really provocative, maybe controversial perspective, right?
Yeah, that individuals experiencing homelessness because they consume so little are effectively major carbon reducers.
And the sources then ask, should the carbon credit system somehow recognize this, maybe even reward it?
Which boils down to that fundamental question. Should extreme minimalism, even when it stems from poverty, be considered a valid, valuable environmental contribution within the market?
It challenges how we measure climate action, and it definitely brings up the social justice side of things.
It really does.
So maybe the final thought to leave folks with, stemming from these ideas, what are the unintended consequences if you were to actually try and financialize this?
Both positive and negative, presumably.
Yeah. What could go wrong? What could, maybe surprisingly, go right? And what does this whole thought experiment tell us about how we're currently tackling climate change and maybe how we're not tackling inequality at the same time?
Lots to chew on there.
Definitely. And that's what we aim for here. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.